The name Dino De Laurentiis appears above the titles of lots of movies, among them The Bible, Barbarella, Death Wish, and Hannibal. Before he became a fixture in Hollywood, De Laurentiis produced such acclaimed Italian films as La Strada, The Knights of Cabiria. The Cinematheque at the Brooklyn Academy is now honoring De Laurentiis with a retrospective of the movies he's produced over more than five decades. David Darcy says it's showing classics of Italian post-war cinema and some movies that Hollywood might like to forget.
Dino De Laurentiis moved to Hollywood more than 30 years ago without knowing much English. He admits he hasn't learned much more since then, but he's become a prototype of the Hollywood producer. He's short and loud, he smokes cigars in his Rolls Royce, and highbrow critics don't concern him much.
The audience want to be attracted not by the critics. The audience want to be attracted by a great story. The audience, you must deliver to the audience emotion. When I say emotion, I mean suspense, drama, laugh.
Those qualities sum up the career that De Laurentiis has tried to make for himself. After World War II, Agostino De Laurentiis abandoned hope of being an actor and ended up producing films by Roberto Rossellini and Federico Fellini that revived Italian cinema.
After the war, the Italian industry was no exist. No money, no film, no studio, nothing. We want to try to make a movie. And we have no studio, and then we have to shoot in the street. And then the critics start to say great things about this movie. They call neorealism. But neorealism in reality was because Italian industry no exists. We are very poor. We have to arrange ourselves to try to make a movie with little money. And this movie go all around the world with great success.
De Laurentiis co-produced Federico Fellini's first film, La Strada, about itinerant circus performers. Other Italian producers had written it off as uncommercial. De Laurentiis convinced Paramount to distribute it internationally, and Fellini won an Oscar.
Buongiorno, signorina Gelsomina.
Lampa, no!
Mi scusi la domanda. Che lei c'ha paura del mio ciuffino?
De Laurentiis did more than produce Fellini's films. He cut a large section from the director's next movie, Knights of Cabiria, and premiered it without letting Fellini know. De Laurentiis's version won Fellini another Oscar. De Laurentiis went on to make such epics as The Bible and War and Peace in Europe with American stars, but he couldn't finance those kinds of projects after Italy passed a law requiring that films be made in Italian with Italian stars. In 1970, De Laurentiis left Europe.
In America, the producer is free. Free to create, free to make any kind of a deal, free to make a picture in any place in the world. The freedom is the most important element for any producer to create a good movie.
His first Hollywood movie was Serpico, about an honest cop fighting a corrupt police bureaucracy.
Guess who got shot? Serpico.
You think a cop did it?
I know six cops said they'd like to.
Serpico helped break a major scandal in the NYPD, and it made money. So did Mandingo, featuring boxer Ken Norton as a slave forced to fight by his owner and forced into something more intimate by his owner's fiancée.
All of a sudden, you attack me.
Miss Blanche, I never
hush done... Hush your mouth. This my story. You attack me.
The critics attacked Mandingo as tasteless exploitation. De Laurentiis remembers.
You know, when I did Mandingo, I received the worst critic, especially in the United States, from any movie I did in the United States. Terrible critics. But the box office was huge all around the world. I make a fortune with Mandingo. You know, at that time, the Hashim situation was not like today. Today is more open. At that time, Mandingo was against some principle, you know.
Whether it was pandering or producing a work of art, says David Thompson, author of The Biographical Dictionary of Film, De Laurentiis often knew just what an audience wanted.
Dare I say this, but I think there's a good deal of opportunism in his career, in that, I mean, he picks up what comes along at the right time, and sometimes it's Fellini, it's like La Strada, and sometimes it's Mandingo. And I don't know. I don't think it's a disgrace for him that he doesn't really distinguish between two films like that too much, except that he might see that Mandingo would make more money. I don't know.
The high financial point of that approach was King Kong. Critics laughed at the remake, but De Laurentiis defended taking it to an audience that was too young to know the original.
It's a classic story, all time. Beauty and the Beast. The original King Kong was a very good one, was classic. In my opinion, was a time to redo it, King Kong, because the Beauty and the Beast is always is a story appealing to the audience. In fact, it was a great success around the world.
So was Death Wish, but not all his films made money. Dune, directed by David Lynch, was a flop, but De Laurentiis gave Lynch another chance with Blue Velvet. That points to the producer's soft side, says David Thompson, or to his blind side.
I believe, because David Lynch told me this, he really let David Lynch make Blue Velvet the way he wanted to make it, after Lynch had made a horrible flop for him. And Blue Velvet's a great film, I think, and I think it owes itself to Dino's fondness for David Lynch, or his leniency, or the fact that he was concentrating on something else at the time. I don't know. Great producers often have so much to do that some things slip through on their blind side.
At a vigorous 82, De Laurentiis has plenty of advice to give. He says that even in Hollywood, the key ingredient isn't stars or money, it's the script.
From my opinion, the star or any movie is the script. You can see today also in the United States. You see some important movie with some major star. They are a flop. Why? The script is no good. The story is no good. Yes, I don't say the star no work. The star help if you have a good script, a good movie. But the star no help if you have a bad script.
De Laurentiis proved his own point with his own project, Body of Evidence, which bombed even with Madonna in the lead.
Have you ever seen animals make love, Frank? It's intense. It's violent, but they never really hurt each other.
We're not animals.
Yes, we are.
Despite a high-profile career in Hollywood, with a bomb here and there, De Laurentiis still hasn't forgiven the Italian industry that he says sent him into exile more than 30 years ago.
In Italy today, just one or two good young directors come out, make one or two interesting movie. But in my personal opinion, until they don't change the law, the industry never come back again. The producer in Italy must be free to do whatever they're the best for them to do a movie.
Besides, De Laurentiis says he's busy in Hollywood with at least three projects in the works. Red Dragon with Anthony Hopkins and Ralph Fiennes, an epic about Alexander the Great, and Jackdaws, which he calls an all-female version of The Dirty Dozen. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.